Blog Talk Radio.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Our soon coming King, we come before thee with praise, glory, and honor to your holy Son. Heavenly Father, through your Son, we ask that you forgive each and every one of us for our sin, for our iniquity that we have committed against you. Those we have committed in awareness, those we have committed unaware. We ask you, Holy Father, through your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, to cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. We ask that you strengthen us, Holy Father, cleansed by the blood of your Son, that we may all be worthy to stand before you according to your divine will. Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, through your Son, we pray that you lead and guide us by your Spirit, that we, Holy Father, may bring forth the truth of your word according to your divine will. Help us, Holy Father, that we may see what lies within the pages of your word, that we may be used as tools to bring edification to thy people, that we may all come to know thee, that we may all come to understand thy way, even as thou hast brought forth in thy word through thy servant, King Solomon, how wisdom is the principal thing, and we should get wisdom. But with all our getting, we should get understanding. Therefore, we ask thee, Holy Father, to bless us, that we may all come to know and understand your word. Through your Son, gracious and merciful Father, we pray, our Savior and our Redeemer, Heavenly Father, all glory be to your holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Welcome once again to Jeremiah 1:10, the intent and purpose being to root out, tear down, destroy and throw down all that stands in opposition against thee. Heavenly Father, as we continue our journey through the beast system, help us to understand and help those who listen to understand as well. I want to encourage those who are listening at the outset of this particular lesson to get your tools, get your Bibles, a pen and a pad, preferably, so that you're able to take notes, so that you're able to go back and review those notes and utilize your Bible dictionary, then your Bible encyclopedias, and more importantly, your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, complete with Hebrew and Greek lexicons. So the beast system, just to get us back up to point, let's do a brief recap of some of the ideas that we've discussed so far, then we'll continue and we'll pick up with where we left off 3 weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, we were discussing some ideas still connected to the beast system and giving some ideas about how that system is functioning in different ways in our world. But we want to get back into our passage in Revelation chapter 11 tonight. But first, what is a beast? When we consider the language that the Holy Scripture uses. And what we discussed prior, a beast is considered to be a cruel, coarse, and filthy creature. Keep that in mind, because he is describing by his servants, the prophets, this entity that exists in opposition to him and his people. When we consider a system, what is it? Again, the definition we uncovered, an assemblage or combination of things or parts forming a complex or unitary whole. So now we have this beast system, something that's cruel, coarse, filthy, yet complex and unitary whole, which exists for the sole purpose of speaking great words against the Most High and wearing out the saints of the Most High, as we've also seen in the Holy Scripture. How does the beast system operate? There are several ideas that we discussed in regard to this question. Now, when you think about the conditioning of the mind, for example, and when you look at the term condition, what does that mean? It means to have a significant influence on. It means to train or accustom to behave in a certain way or to accept certain circumstances. It means to bring something into the desired state for you. Now, when we consider those definitions of the term condition, what is it? To condition the mind. You see, these are the questions we have to ask in connection to this system. So in other words, what has a significant influence on the mind? What is being used to train or accustom the mind to behave in a certain way or to accept certain things? What is being used to bring the mind into a desired state? Two suggestions that we have been looking at. First, propaganda, which is a means of spreading information, or mass hypnosis, which is a means of inducing reduced consciousness to leave the mind open for suggestion. Now, when we look at this, one of the major vessels that is being used for propaganda and mass hypnosis is the media. Now, that is a very important word, and we will be getting to that at some point during this lesson. Why other propaganda that the mass hypnosis used to condition the mind. It is to further man's perception and what we understand man's perception to be evil. When we think about the adversary, there's a saying, the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled was to convince the world that he does not exist. In other words, the world, as the Holy Scripture teaches, which wanders after that beast, is totally oblivious to the fact that they are, as our little intro brings forth, in the matrix. The world is totally oblivious to that. You know why? Because they have been deceived. And what does that mean? Again, some truths can't be emphasized enough. To be deceived means that someone believes something to be true, which in actuality is a lie. Look at our world today and how many lies are being promulgated as truth. You see, matter of fact, it was the prophet Isaiah who wrote about a time that will be coming. And we can see that in our world today, where that which is considered to be good by the Most High is referred to as evil, and that which is considered to be evil by the Most High is viewed as being good. We are living in that reality at this day and time. This is the result of the beast system. Let's continue our recap. Who is this beast from the sea we learn about in Revelation chapter 13? And I want to touch on a few passages just to develop the Holy Scripture. In Genesis chapter 7, verses 11 through 12, the Holy Scripture reads, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Genesis chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. Now, I wanted to start off with those passages to give us this idea, this image. When we consider the fact that the waters that are beneath the earth, the ground being broken up, and those waters now bursting forth in addition to the rainfall for 40 days and 40 nights, created a condition where the waters totally engulf the planet. It gives us the image of an ocean or even a sea, if you will. But let's continue. After that, we find that Noah and his sons were given a command to replenish the earth. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. In Genesis chapter 10 and verse 6, the Holy Scripture teaches, and the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mitzrayim, and Phut, and Canaan. And you go down to verse 8, the Holy Scripture teaches, Cush became the father of Nimrod. Now, we discussed this name before. If you look up the term, John's Exhaustive Concordance, Hebrew Lexicon, number 4775, the word you'll find there is marad. That word means to rebel. Now, the way that the Hebrew language is, marad is actually spelled with a mem, a resh, and a dalet. In our language, a language, M-R-D. But what they did in forming the name Nimrod, they added a nun to the beginning. Now, as we've discussed in previous broadcasts, the Hebrew language is a pictograph. In other words, every character is also or originally was a picture. Now, not so much focusing on the mem, the resh, and the dalet, but I wanted to turn your attention to the initial of Nimrod, which is a nun, for the nun is the seed. And the connotation of the seed is continuity. Keep that in mind. Because when we compare that nun, meaning continuity, to the term marad, which means to rebel, you're talking about continued rebelliousness. Keep that in mind. Let's continue. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. Cush became the father of Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. Now, here's the thing. This was the beginning of something. Remember, every human being, save eight souls, were destroyed in the flood. After that, you have a new world. So within this new world, what we are learning is that Nimrod began something. He started something. And this, what he started, was a continuity of rebelliousness. He was just the beginning. In other words, this is that beast that came out of the sea as a result of the flood. Something happened. This is what we're learning. It says, verse 9. He was a mighty hunter before Yahweh. In other words, opposed to Yahweh. But this is simply saying to us, when you look up the terms in the Hebrew, the word translated as before comes from the Hebrew word pana, which means to face. It's like this. Remember when we were younger and you may have had an issue with somebody? They may have some words exchanged. And then what you would do, you'll walk up to each other, and then you'll get up in each other's face. See, this is what it's telling us about Nimrod. You see, he stood in the face of the Most High. He opposed him. So it says, he was a mighty hunter before Yahweh. Therefore, it is said, now keep this in mind, we're talking about a world that is starting over. We're talking about eight souls now. Eight souls who saw friends and family destroyed in the floods. Who knew that it was the creator of the heavens and the earth who commanded that the grounds break up and that the waters fall to create those conditions. Who knew that. Who understood that it was the result of the evil that men do. What did they teach their children but to fear the Most High? So you're talking about a world at this particular time feared the Most High. Even Brother Shaul, Brother Paul talks about that. But something happened. You had one. All it took was one. Nimrod. Banned the Most High. So it became a proverb. So it says this, Genesis 10:9. He was a mighty hunter before Yahweh. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before Yahweh. In other words, he set an example, albeit a negative example, but he set the pathway for those who would follow, who would be continuity of rebelliousness. This is what we're learning here. So in Genesis 10:10, it says, the beginning of his kingdom. Listen to the wording. Why is it that the Most High is talking about he began to be a mighty one in the earth? The beginning of his kingdom was because he started something. And what he started would continue even to our very day and time, right here, right now, 2016, July 7th. at the moment we're currently talking, according to the Gregorian calendar, according to the Hebrew calendar, it is the first of the fourth Hebrew month. So this is what we are understanding from what he's laid out with this beast from the sea. Let's continue. Again, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. And we took a look at that in the previous broadcast. And what Shinar is, what the scholars refer to as Sumer. So when you do a research on the Sumerian culture, guess who was a big part of it? This man named Nimrod, whose name implies continuity of rebelliousness. Now, with Babel, one of the things that we've learned, because we looked at Daniel chapter 7, and we saw that Daniel had a vision of four beasts. And what these four beasts represent were four kings that would come forth in the earth. That first beast representing the Babylonian Empire. Now, when we hear this in Genesis, one of the things we don't want to do, we do not want to limit that to Genesis, because that was the beginning of something that would continue. So when we get to Daniel, we find out that from Babylon comes the Medians and the Persians. And listen to that term, Media. Think about that. Even though that is the English representation of the term, the Hebrew being Madai, it still means the exact same thing. Media, as in a go-between. Similar to where we get the term that you find used in the New Age movement, a medium. See, a medium is supposed to be a pathway or a portal between the physical and the spiritual realm. So that a person who refers to themselves as a medium basically becomes a conduit for spirit. But let's continue. From the Median and Persian Empire, we find Greece coming on the scene. And from the Grecian Empire, now takes us to Rome. So when he sees this beast coming from the sea, one of the reasons why he described it as that mouth of the lion, the feet of the bear, like a leopard, is because he ties that to and connects it with Daniel's vision of these four beasts, these same four world-ruling empires, which is not four separate and distinct, but you're talking about four stages of development of the same entity, which began with, again, Nimrod, whose name, once again, implies continuity of rebelliousness. This is that beast from the sea. But who was the beast from the earth? So we turn to Revelation chapter 13 so we can continue where we left off. Let's pick back up. Because this beast is significant, and one of the reasons why we wanted to spend a little more time on this beast before we get back to explaining the other stages of this development is because it would be this beast from the earth who would exercise the power of the first beast, which was a combination of all of these systems, these empires that came before it. So we read in Revelation 13 and verse 11, where the prophet writes, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." So listen to that. You're talking about giving this image. First, it implies having two horns, which we understand what that points to now, according to the interpretation of Daniel's vision. What a horn is a king, a ruler. So you got two rulers. But then it adds the definition, like a lamb, because now with these two rulers, there's going to be this air of innocence. You see? This air of gentleness. represented by these two horns. Now, in spite of having the appearance of that innocence and that gentleness, what we find out is that these two horns actually spake as a dragon, and we find out who the dragon is in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, which clearly states, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Why that old serpent? Take your mind back to the Garden of Eden. There was a serpent there with that first man and that first woman. Old serpent called the devil and Satan. You see, those names are not personal or pronouns. You see, they are descriptive terms describing this dragon. The fact that he is called a devil. You see, the fact that he is called Satan. These are not personal names. We'll get into those a little later during the series, but let's continue our thought. Again, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. So let's make a comparison. Let's go to Revelation 17:3, and let's see this same entity that came up out of the earth in another sense, which we looked at already. But again, what we're doing, we're recapping. So we find in Revelation 17:3, it reads, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. Now, this beast coming up out of the earth, in Revelation chapter 17, is described as a woman. Now, with a woman, one of the things that you find prophetically, a woman points to a church. And to testify to that being a truth, all you need to do is turn to Revelation chapter 12, and it talks about this other woman. You see, this woman was clothed with the sun, stood on the moon, and had 12 stars as a crown around her head. See, that pointed to the Ibri Israeli, in other words, the Hebrew Israelite. That church, that assembly. But this woman is something altogether different, you see, because this woman, which was saw by the prophet, sat upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns, just like the beast we learned about in Revelation chapter 13. In other words, this woman sitting on the beast is implying that she controls it, or in other words, exercises all the power of that beast. But let's move on. Let's go down to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 13. Still discussing that other beast that came up out of the earth. And it says, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from the heavens on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. We want to touch on that a little further, but before we do that, let's reference this in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20 so that we see we're talking about a particular entity now. So, when it says in verse 11 of Revelation 13, another beast coming up out of the earth, we see in Revelation 17:3, it's the woman. Now we're going to see in Revelation 19 and verse 20, it is described as the false prophet, which reads, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. Now, when we read that and we compare what we just saw in Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, and we look at all these passages together, this other beast is described as the woman, and the false prophet is a very significant part of why this first beast has become this magnificent and wonderful creature in our world today.
because of the work of its messengers. And when you think about its messengers, don't just limit it to religiosity, because this beast has tapped into every area of human existence. And this is one of the things that people fail to realize about this beast system. It's not just a religious thing. It touches on everything that affects our day-to-day living.
And to testify to that, if we go back to Revelations chapter 17 and verse 6, it says, "And I saw," and remember this, John talking, the saint, right? One of the chosen of the Messiah. He says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahushua. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Now, you're talking about this, a vision. And when the saint saw this woman, he wondered after her with great admiration. And if you read the next passage, verse 7, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel?" Why are you marveling at this, John? So even he got caught up in this vision, which was going on. So when you're talking about human life and how it affects it, don't think that you're not affected by this. Because this man who is having this vision, even he got caught up in the vision. Don't think you're immune. Nobody is immune, you know. But it takes something to the Most High will separate you for that. He'll send one of his angels to bring you out of that process, you know. But as far as us, and as far as this world being caught up, it's caught up. The whole world wondered after the beast, you know, through various ways, through the media like we were speaking on, through religion, through not religion. Even when you're talking about a non-denominational atheism type thing, that's still wandering after the beast. It don't take no shorts, you know. So everyone gets caught up after this beast, but it takes the Most High to free you from it.
There you go, Keith. Man. Hallelujah.
Okay. Now, let's continue with this thought here, which is a very significant one, and we want to compare this with what we learn in Deuteronomy chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Something that, and when we go back to the Torah, see, one of the things about the Torah is a part of the composition by the prophet Moshe. The Torah was one of the first writings established. It is the foundation to everything that we believe. Now, way back here, time of the prophet Moses, the Creator enlightened our forefathers to a very significant truth, which we'll find here in Deuteronomy chapter 13, and starting at verse 1. He says, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass." Now, that part right there in verse 2. "And the sign or the wonder comes to pass." Now, why is that so significant? When you look at the 10 plagues, when you read that account, one of the things that you're going to find is that from the first plague, I believe, to the fourth plague, the Egyptians were able to mimic that. Now, I say that to say this. If we know, as we study this account, that what Moshe and Aharon did was by utilizing the power of the Most High, what were the Egyptians doing it by? How were they able to mimic what Moshe and Aharon were doing? Now, thinking on that, remove what Moshe and Aharon did. If those acts were proof that the Most High was with them, how would the acts of the Egyptians then look? So when he says this, one of the things that the Most High is acknowledging, it won't be unusual to see a sign or a wonder. So we need to be prepared for that. Now, what does that mean for our day? I haven't heard every speaker, every minister, every person who is articulate, be it with the word or not. But those whom I have heard can be very convincing. And I say that to say this, and I'm going to come from this perspective. First, you have many men and women who are teaching the Bible, and they teach the Bible in such a way that people who listen to it, they become amazed by what's being brought out. But here's the question. Whatever it is that's amazing you about that word, is it from the Most High? Because we have examples that the adversary is able to mimic what the Most High does, and he's able to mimic it to a point. Because going back to the example of the plague, as was stated, from the first to the fourth plague, they were able to repeat it. But the rest of the plague, they couldn't touch it.
That's right.
In other words, there's a limit.
Right.
And this is what we as Bible believers, students of the word, have to come to recognize. Whenever you're dealing with a false prophet or false teacher, there's going to be a limitation. They may sound good, be very compassionate. They may be very articulate. But give them some time. We learned something years ago. If you allow them to keep speaking, just listen to them. Eventually, you're going to hear where they're going to slip out. You're going to hear that this sign and this wonder that you think you're seeing may not be all this cracked up to people. Listen to what we're saying here. And I just wanted to put that on the table for you to meditate on. But let me finish this passage so we can see what the Most High is bringing for. He says, I'm going to go back, start at verse 1 so we can get the complete thought. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other mighty ones. Here you go. So when you hear these people speaking, and see, who is Moshe talking to? Let's put this on the table. The Holy Scriptures, which was written by the servants of the Most High, the holy prophets, these men were sent to one group of people in particular, that is to the Israelites. This word, which has been translated in so many different languages, was originally written for a Middle Eastern people, which is where our heritage stems from. This is not an American book, as the King James Version or the NIV and all these versions would have one deceived to believe. This is the work of Hebrew authors who spoke the Hebrew language, and they talked about the Hebrew culture. So it is designed and given to those people. It is not a book for the world in that sense. But here's the thing. The doors have been opened so that the people in the world can come through and learn about the Israelite way of life. That's what we have to come to understand as Bible students. So when we read these things, when they come to you, and with their articulation of whatever it is that they're bringing forth, and they say to you to turn your back on Yah, and to serve some other mighty one, regardless of how good it sounds. Listen to what he says. Start all over again so we can get the complete thought. We'll read down a little further. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you, and let me say this. See, what he's doing, He's preparing his people. He already sees this is going to happen. It's going to come. We just read about it in Revelation. There's going to be a power that come on the scene, and by way of the miracles that he wrought before him, he going to deceive the world. So listen to what the Messiah, he warns his people of. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other mighty ones which you have not known, and let's serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or to that dreamer of dreams. For Yahweh, your mighty one, is testing you. See, what that means is this. See, he's not tempting us. But see, one of the things that the Most High does, he has to allow evil to be experienced. And you know what he wants to see? Whether we're going to do one simple thing, obey his voice, or will we become enamored by the articulation of these words and be drawn away to serve other entities besides the one where true life exists? Think about it. There's no life outside of the creator of the heavens and the earth, the mighty one of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is no life if you don't have a connection to him.
Even listen to how it's even worded. If a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you. I mean, it's like this was the average Joe, but now he has risen up. Now think about all these dudes on YouTube. Think about all these dudes on Facebook.
Hallelujah.
Think about all these dudes that's just popping up everywhere. It's teachers popping up everywhere. And all of them ain't telling you the truth.
Amen.
I'm going to say 99.9 of them ain't telling you the truth.
Amen.
That's the truth. That's the truth of the matter. But they get these followings, and they literally turning you away from Yahweh by using the word of Yahweh.
Amen.
You know, anytime that you have you have people out there who preach hate, that's all they do, preach hate. And the word says, loving kindness I have drawn you in.
Amen.
That's turning you away from the word.
Amen.
And they rising up. They're just popping up out of everywhere. So the words, don't be marveled. That's why that passage,
Amen.
We can get so... These people can catch us if we're not vigilant. They can catch, they can capture your mind. They can capture your thoughts because they sound good. They sound so good, and you want to believe it. That lunar Sabbatarian doctrine sounds so wonderful to people. You know, these not keeping these feast days because you're not in the land. That sounds wonderful to people. You know, but it's not the truth.
Amen.
Sunday worship is not the truth.
Amen.
All these different things are not the truth. And people are caught up in it. You know? So that's what we have to do. We have to stay vigilant. Don't get caught up. What the word say? Don't get tossed by every wind of doctrine. Don't get knocked back and forth by every wind of doctrine. So we have to stay vigilant.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Shalom. While the brother was speaking, two scriptures came to mind. One of them came from Matthew 7:15, and it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inward they are raving wolves. And the second scripture came from Matthew 24:11-12. And many false prophets shall rise and should deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm not going to start over this time. I'm going to pick up in verse 3. I think everybody got the point. So in verse 3, where we stopped there, it said, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or to that dreamer of dreams, for Yahweh, your mighty one, is testing you to know whether you love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart and with all your soul. So this is what's happening. What happened in that garden is that humanity has now been introduced to both what is good and what is evil. And the reason why that was allowed is because one of the things about the Most High, we think about love, and this is one of the things that kind of confuses me about the relationship I'm about to explain. When you think about people who are in relationships and one of the partners basically threatens the other person, okay? In other words, this person may threaten them in the sense of, if you leave me, I'm going to hurt you. Or, if you leave me, I'm going to hurt myself. So that person oftentimes feels an obligation to stay with that person. One, out of fear for their own life, or out of concern for the life of the other person. My point in giving that example is that love? Is the person there because they genuinely care about you and they want to be with you? Or is it because of these circumstances being forced upon them that they're staying? Now, I say that to say this. With the Most High, He doesn't want to create circumstances to force us. Therefore, we have a choice. So He allowed humanity to experience what is good and what is evil, to see whether or not we would choose Him. Now, the beauty in this example, and what I'm saying is not necessarily an example, this is the reality, the beauty of it is this. Humanity, because of the conditioning that has been allowed, we have become subservient to the evil. It's what we want. It's what we desire from the time we come forth from the womb. So it's a part of our nature. In other words, what we refer to as human nature. So what the Creator sees, He sees a people whose nature it is to do evil, saying, Heavenly Father, I don't want to do evil anymore. I want what you have to offer. And that is a choice. You see? That is a choice you have to make. So when He, again, allows these things, it's not that He's tempting you. He's giving you a choice. He wants to see whether or not you love Him with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, ultimately, if you choose to follow after that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, you'll be hurt. Because you didn't choose Him. But He will allow you to make that choice. He said to His people, I'm going to give you a choice of the water and the fire. He said, whatever you want, choose it. But here's the other piece that people don't think about. And this is something that I really like to emphasize, because the world has it all screwed up. The Most High does not send anybody to the lake of fire and brimstone. He doesn't. We choose to go there. We pick it. You have a choice, and this is what you pick. So when you pick these things, this is what we're learning about. He says, verse 4, you shall walk after Yahweh, your mighty one. So if this is what the design is, and let me just explain this for a moment. Although the Torah was given to Israel, it was always the Most High's intent that it be offered to the world. It was always the Most High's intent that among His people, they practice and they live according to this culture, as my brother's been discussing, this Hebrew Israelite culture, with the intent that He be involved in their lives and the world around, see that something is special about these people within the midst of this world that we live. How is it that these things keep happening? We look at the plagues. Once again, the example that was given, all the plagues that befell the Egyptians, none of them touched Israel. That was an example for us.
if we obey his voice. But the problem is we don't want to obey his voice. So when the calamity comes, we complain, we moan, and we groan. But we don't realize, and we tied to that the whole idea of deception, we don't realize it's because you keep choosing it. It's because this is what you keep picking. And that's why these things happen. But listen to what he said. And even in the word, it's still a command. You shall walk after Yahweh, your mighty one. Fear him. In other words, have a respect for him. Keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cling to him. We think about clinging to something. You ever dried your clothes and, you know, you forgot to put the little dry sheet in there? The next thing you know, you got a shirt, and every time you put it on, the shirt is still sticking up. And, you know, you try to pull it down, and the shirt, it just won't go down straight because it's clinging. See, that's what the Most High wants his people to do to him. You know, it's like when you're young and you're in love, even when you're older and in love, and you and your spouse walking together, and then your spouse just holds your arm so tight, maybe even rests her head on your shoulder while you're walking. She's clinging to you. That's what the Most He wants us to genuinely love him and cling to him. But how do we do that? We do. See, we can't physically, you know, grab onto his arm and put our hand on his shoulder. But what he did, he gave us some instructions. And how we show him that we love him and that we want to cling to him is by adhering to those instructions, which we learn that in the New Testament. If you love me, keep my instructions. That's what he's saying. Let's move on. Let's see what else he said. He says, verse 5, that prophet, now listen to what he says, or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Did you hear that? Now, we're not advocating killing people today, because one of the things that we also come to understand, and this is one of the reasons why you have to allow that spirit to open up the entire word to you, we have come to understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. See, these brothers and sisters who are out here caught up in the matrix, they're only caught up in the matrix because there are forces that exist that keep plaguing their hearts and their minds. Let's not lose sight of what we're talking about, that beast system, which conditions the mind through all of the propaganda in the world today, through all of the mass hypnosis in the world today, to promulgate man's perception, to promulgate the evil. See, it's already there in us. We've been talking about sin. See, it's something that happened when that man, that woman, or disobeyed the voice of the Most High. They opened the door and they allowed something into us, which has been there, and we have inherited that. All the adversary has to do is nurture it. The evil is already present in us. So he has to nurture. So if you as a man struggle with fornication, the adversary knows just what type of woman you like. You see? All he has to do is keep bringing them your way. All he has to do is suggest to them to have some interest in you for whatever reason may be. And because you have that lust already, you're going to keep following that bait unless the love you have for the Most High is greater. Then you make the choice to keep his instructions. But let's not lose sight again. The intent and purpose of this beast system is to keep us from adhering to the instructions of the Most High so that we continue feeding our lust. Matter of fact, there's a television show on today. Say it again.
So we continue to rebel.
Continuity of rebelliousness. You see? So we continue going contrary to the Most High. Hallelujah. Now, there's a show on television, and when you get into, again, the media, entertainment, and what's entertainment for? To distract you. you see, to distract, to keep you from focusing. So there's a show, and when you get into the titles of different shows, I mean, before you even get into the content of each episode, look at the title. And this one show, it's a fairly new show on AMC. It's called Feed the Beast. Think about that. That's what, if you keep saying that over and over, feed the beast, feed the beast, feed the beast. What? Feed the beast. See, the adversary knows how to get to you. See, we don't realize, we just think, oh, there's a new show on AMC that starts tonight. It's called Feed the Beast. Now, whatever, I never watched the show, and it may even be a good show. You know? But the point is, there's a message there. Feed the, see, we don't realize we're getting a message. Feed the beast. Feed the beast. We don't realize that. Scandal. Scandal. We don't realize how to get away with murder. Well, would you even name a show that? How to get away with murder. How to get away with murder. And we keep feeding ourselves with these things, not realize until we look out at what's happening in the world today, and we surprised. You see? Like the brother said, the continuity of rebelliousness. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 13 and verse 5. It says, that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. And as was being stated, it's not the person that we're attempting to kill. The person we're attempting to free. And how do we free? Because there are spirits that deal with us to nurture the evil that's within us. So as servants of the Most High, as Ivri, Yisraeli, Hebrew Israelites, he told us to armor up. See, one of the, see, back to the word again. See, he told us a story. When he brought Israel out of Egypt, first thing he wanted them to do, get my worship, get my house together so I can dwell among you. That's the first thing they did. So after that first year, they constructed the tabernacle. Now after that's done, now this is what you got to do. You got to separate yourselves and form armies. You know why? Because it is the intent and purpose of Israel to fight. Now, some of you probably hear this and say, hold up, brother. How are you going to say Israel's intent to fight when the Bible keeps saying, y'all are going to fight for you? He is. What do you think he's preparing? See, when he talks about the armor, and we get into the details of what that armor is, I'm just going to mention one of them. He said, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yah. When you think about a sword, see, a sword is twofold, which is one of the reasons why it even says it's a two-edged sword. You can look at it that way. But a sword is a weapon that you use for the offense to strike an opponent, but it's also used for defense to block the attacks of an opponent. You see? But the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. So what is he telling them? See, it's not that he wants them to go ahead and kill people. Spirits and the control that they had, that we have the power over. Because we learned something from our Messiah. See, all the power that was once given to Adam, which was stolen from him, he said, all power in the heavens and the earth belong to me right now. So all we need to do is walk in that. Because see what he's preparing. When we receive the Holy Spirit, as Brother Paul brings up, he said it's the Spirit of his Son. When we understand it, it's that word. And we receive that, guess who that is in us? It's the same Messiah who said that all power in the heavens and the earth belong to him. Once you have that Holy Spirit, that's who's taking residence in you. When we die daily, we, the fleshly man that is subservient to sin and just love this darkness around us, that's who's supposed to die. But as we die to this sinful world, guess who's being brought to life? Guess who's growing and coming to a fullness? So when we go out there to battle, it ain't us. Still Yahweh fighting for us. Still fighting for us. He said, that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death.
because he has spoken rebellion against Yahweh, your mighty one. You see? So when you think about that system, what it intends to do, to have us continue in a path contrary, anybody who comes and stands against the Most High, he said, kill it. So he calls Jeremiah and told him to do the exact same thing. Root out! See, we talk about rooting out something. See, when you're dealing with farming, and it's a beautiful thing. You learn from what you experience. You can't just grab a weed and pull it, and it breaks off, and then you still got a little weed down there. You ain't do nothing to it. It's still there. See, what you got to do, you got to dig your fingers sometimes down in that dirt, and you got to pull. And you can't sometimes, you can't just pull it up right away because you don't want it to break. You want to just tug at it a little bit. Because you want to make sure that you get all that root up so that once you feel it getting a little looser and you pull up, then you see all this roots coming up. That's what he said. Root it out. Once you root it out, you know that that's not going to, you killed that one. That's not going again. Because it doesn't have anything left in the earth. So what he's talking about, root out, tear down, destroy, throw down everything that stands in opposition to the Most High. That's what Israel was chosen to do. So the adversary knew what he had to do. And when you think about Israel, in spite of them being the chosen people, they were some of the most evil people in the world. In spite of having the most precious and the most valuable gift that any human being can have, which is the word of Yah, they taught the world how to sin. Look at the world today. This is what Israel did. Because they didn't follow through and obey their father's voice. He said, that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken rebellion against Yahweh, your mighty one, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. See, he brought us out of Egypt. So why, brothers and sisters, why are we still trying to go back to it? Everybody caught up with the Egyptology today. And they think they speak in some wisdom. It sounds real good, don't it? These prophets and these dreamers of dreams telling you whatever it is they're telling you. These are the signs. These are the wonders. And you know what they say? Come with me. Don't serve, y'all. Come over here and let's serve Osiris. Come over here and let's serve Isis. That's sir, the mother God. You see? All of that is backwards, brothers and sisters. It's contrary to what the Most High gave. But anyway, let's get back. He says, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage. Listen to that. Now he's talking about slavery. Remember Israel? When they were coming out of Egypt? And what did they want to do? They complain. Let us go back to slavery. You got people with that same mindset today. Let's go back. Let's stay in bondage. You know, Brother Paul, he wrote, how is it that you, since you've been freed, how is it that you want to return to the weak and the beggarly elements? You've been given power. Why do you want to return to that which is weak? It says, to draw you aside out of the way with Yahweh, your mighty one, commanded you to walk in. So you shall remove the evil from among you. Now, take that little clause right there. So you shall remove the evil from among you and compare it to why the Most High gave Israel the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days, we were supposed to be practicing getting the evil out. Get the evil out. There's something in us that we have to remove. You see? And what that beast system serves the purpose of doing, again, is to nurture it. So that it can grow and it become great. Because, see, there's a point that a man gets. The Bible refers to it as a reprobate mind. See, There's a point that a man can get to where the Bible describes him as his conscience being seared with a hot iron. See, we talk about your conscience being seared. Your conscience is that part of you that enables you to discern what's right from what's wrong. So if your conscience is seared with a hot iron, that means that you have no discernment of what's right or wrong. That means anything goes. Just like Aleister Crowley. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole law. See, that's where we're moving to. You see, so nowadays, think about it. Yeah, I'm going to jump on that subject because see, what people don't realize is how that goes contrary to the divine order that the Most High placed in the world. It was bad enough for a man to just want to put on a woman's clothes. It was bad enough for a man to want to be intimate with another man. But now they got it to the point where, as a man, I can choose and I can flip-flop and do whatever I want to do on any given day. But people don't realize that's what they're saying. So I'm a woman today, so I can go into the woman's bathroom today. But what are we setting up and what are we opening up? Will we allow that? And you'll be surprised, some places have already put it in their laws that it's acceptable. Non-binary. You look like a man. You have the genitalia of a man. You telling me you're a woman and you want me to address you in the feminine pronouns? Are you sex? That's what they used to believe.
Very much so.
It was a diagnosis years ago. Why did that change? Is it because some of these people who had that sickness have now gotten to power and they now part of the legislation? And they're now opening up the door so they can do whatever they want to do. Think about it. What's happening today? Come on now.
It's like the word say. Those people are going to rise up.
The continuity of rebelliousness. That's Nimrod. See, people don't understand. Once, and that's why the Most High gave the whole idea of getting rid of the leaven. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole? It don't take a whole lot of yeast to make a loaf grow. Just take a little bit. You put that little bit of yeast in that big lump of dough, and that dough she blows up. See, that's what sin does. And the adversary is well aware of that. All he needed was one. And that one had to be very articulate and very influential so that now what he does, he gains a following. And once that following starts to grow and they get stronger, now the impact that they had starts to spread. Now those who would be considered to be the good are being swayed from their way of life because here goes the physical element and our connection to this world because we all want to be a part of something. Nobody wants to be the odd man out. So if that means I got to sell my soul to the devil to get ahead, by all means, just to fit in, I'm going to sell my soul to the devil. That's where we are today in our world. Many people are doing it.
And see, this is exactly why people think, oh, the God of the Bible is cruel. The God of the Bible is evil. He's just a tyrant. Well, this is exactly why when he said back in Deuteronomy 13, in the 13th chapter, that when that person rises up to bring you to rebellion against Yahweh, to destroy them. Because little by little, whenever this ideology, this mindset, this person who is rebellious starts to spread, guess what? Before you know it, Israel as a nation is falling before their God. But I want to read something out of the book of Romans. And we may have gone over this before, but it's right there in the first chapter of Romans. And why bring these things out in the book called Romans? Because when you think about the Roman Empire and what the Roman Empire has brought to the world, the Roman Empire has brought nothing but destruction for the last 2,000 plus years to this world. We are still living under the Roman ideology, the Senate, Congress. These are all Greco-Roman terms that we still live under. And look at what we've gotten to in this point in our existence here in the United States of America. We are more divided than any other country on the planet. And I don't need statistics and facts to know this. I see it on the very same media that they use to corrupt people. It's the very same media that's revealing the pure, honest, unadulterated truth to America. But listen what he says back in the book of Romans, the first chapter, 18th verse. For the wrath of Yah is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, which is what Yaqael started off with. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So even in their paganistic ways and even their paganistic, especially now that they have adopted the quote-unquote Bible and have used it for their religious practices, guess what? They are definitely without excuse, because the very same Bible that they're using to deceive people holds the truth within it. So now when you twist and you turn this truth around, guess what? That makes you more guilty. It doesn't make you guiltless, huh? Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, so this means that there are revelations out here to help you know and understand the creator of the universe. First of all you got to do is look to the heavens and know that the God exists.
Hallelujah.
That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. And, you know, and even when Yaqael was talking about the plagues, the plagues they could not, you know what the plagues that they could not do, they could not duplicate, were the ones involved in nature.
Hallelujah.
Because guess what? I don't care. And, you know, they try to deceive people, say, oh, they're putting contrails up there, and these contrails are controlling mankind and all this. First of all, you can't mess with Yahweh's heaven. You can't do it. Sure, you can make a movie about sending a man to the moon. You can make a movie about all kinds of space crap that's going out there. You can even tell people that one of our satellites have reached Jupiter. It took 5 years and billions of dollars to reach Jupiter. You can tell people all this sort of stuff. Yes, you sure can. You can tell. Doesn't mean that it's the truth. For them that have good sense, know that you are being duped and being lied to about this sort of stuff. Because that when they knew God, 1:21, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful. They were ungrateful about the knowledge they had of God. The continuation of rebellion.
Man.
Huh? Instead of Nimrod being grateful, he led a rebellion that to this day, as we've been saying, still exists.
Man
is hell-bent. Man would rather see destruction than obey the Creator. Man would rather mutilate his body than obey the Creator. You even have a child out there. They got a whole show about this child about to go through this sex change because he's deceived into thinking that he was. And in our lifetime, I'm 45 years old to some, but young to men. 45 years old, I know in my lifetime, this was considered a deviant psychological condition.
Amen.
Imagine this for a second. You see a cat barking. Or you see a dog saying, meow, what would you think? But it's not unusual to see a man wanting to be like a woman. Or a woman wanting to be like a man. We don't think that that's – but if we see an animal acting out of sorts, that's strange to us. Huh? That's strange to us. I was watching a show. Watch a show called The Incredible Dr. Paul. He's a veterinarian. And there was this puppy that they brought in, a dog that they brought in, and the dog wasn't acting like a dog. And they knew as a veterinarian that a dog is supposed to act in a particular way. And he quickly diagnosed that this dog had a mental condition because he was not expressing the behaviors of a dog. He just... We know how dog behavior is. They put their noses anywhere. This dog didn't even do that. All he did was walk around with his tongue hanging out of his mouth, and the dog had this wild stare on his face. And he said the dog had to be put down because the dog would not survive in that condition, not acting like a dog. So humanity cannot survive in the condition that it's going down if men are not being men and women are not being women.
Amen.
It is a sure path for destruction, but let's continue. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. They were ungrateful about the understanding that they had of God, but became vain in their imaginations, in their own thought. They come up with things like Star Wars. They come up with things like X-Men, Avengers, and all this stuff. We can create fantastic things to alter the reality within our mind. When you think about a comic book, this is one man's creation about a reality that seems like he has. You take a comic book character, he has a mama, he has a papa, he has an origin, he has a beginning, he has a history to his life. This is all coming out of somebody's imagination. When you think about it, you think about every movie. Think about Jason Bourne. Think about the Bourne Identity. They've created this fantastic character and made this great story around him, and now they're about to make a fifth movie about this person. This is all coming from somebody's imagination, somebody who sat on their bed one time and said, you know what, I'm going to make a character of a man who can do these most incredible things. He will be this government operative. He will be highly trained in assassination, espionage, and he will be able to do things that the average man could only imagine doing. Think about that. And they put billions of dollars, they pay this actor billions of dollars to play this role of something that has come out of somebody's mind that is pure fictitian. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Look at the pantheon of gods that are out there. Just take anyone, Hindu gods, Mayan gods, Egyptian gods, the Sumerian gods. They had bull gods. They had gods with that had hawk heads and man's body, with a lion's body and a woman's face. Isn't that what the Sphinx is?
I know.
Alligators, frogs, monkeys, hybrid gods, werewolves, all these sort of things. So they have changed the glory of God into something that in Yahweh's eyes is laughable. Because think about it. From the very beginning, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. He didn't say, let's make man to look like a cow over here and put a little disc around his head and let them worship him. Or an elephant. Or make a god with multiple arms. Or make a god with multiple faces. Or make a god with multiple eyes and feet and all this sort of thing. God never, he never said that. He said, I'm going to make you to resemble me. But now we've taken that, the beauty of that, and turn it around now and want to worship an animal. Think about that.
Something that we were given dominion over.
Thank you, Aki. Something we were given dominion over. We're going to go back to 123 and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So you know what Yahweh said I'm going to do? Wherefore, Yahweh said, also gave them up to uncleanness through their lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between them. So that's what y'all want? Hey, take it. So guess what? Yahweh's going to let y'all go through all these set changes. He's going to let you go through all your deviant behavior because he's got to let this corruption spread.
Amen.
He's going to allow this corruption to spread. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And he says in 1:26, for this cause, Yahweh gave them up to their vile affections.
Because y'all want it, y'all got it. Just like what Yaakov brought up. Choose you this day, which one you want. I'm going to lay it before you. I want you to choose what you want to choose, either because you love me or you hate me. There's only two things. You either love Yahweh or you hate him. Ain't no middle ground about it. He said, you are neither hot nor cold, so I'm going to spew you out. Yahweh don't like room temperature water. He either needs some hot water to boil some tea,
amen,
or he wants some cool water to cool himself down.
Amen.
But room temperature water ain't doing nothing for Yahweh. He don't need nobody to sleep warm for him. Back to 126. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise, also the men. So check this out. Why put the women first in this circumstance?
They would know better.
Why put the women first in this circumstance? And nothing against our sisters. It's one thing that surely that women are not doormats.
Amen.
They're equal heirs to the throne. We are partners in all of this. But Hasatan will always use what he can use to destroy humanity. Because first of all, he named women life. The first woman was named life. So he's letting you know that there's life within that woman, and we need one another. But at the same time, he's having them on the forefront to lead us down a path of destruction. And this is nothing against women, not to hate women or anything like that, not to preach against women, but to love our women with all that we can. But that's the truth of the matter, and this is based on what his word is saying. And he said, as foolish men that we are, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So he gave them, you know what, you want to do that? Guess what? You're going to realize that that comes with a price, a physical price that you will pay within your flesh for committing that act. Because he gave you something good, both men and women. He gave us, he said, it is not good that man be alone. So I'm going to make a help meet for him, an equal partner to him. Somebody that he is compatible with. 128. And even as they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, Yahweh gave them over to a reprobate mind, to those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Think about it now. The hottest shows on television, especially in the black community, that's all these women do all day long. The Braxtons, even sisters can't get along with one another. The Atlanta Housewives or whatever their names are, they don't do nothing but backbite and bicker all night long. And you got women who find this to be pure, and some men too, find this to be purely entertaining. The hottest show in the black community is Empire. It ain't about nothing to edify the black community. But then we wonder why things happen to us in the streets. And then we want to yell and scream, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. Black, who are we trying to convince that Black Lives Matter? Don't talk to me about this garbage no more. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear about what black people are going to do for themselves within their community. Stop telling me about what the police is doing. It's obvious. It's status quo at this point. But at what point are we going to turn it around and start saying, hey, I'm tired of 64 people being shot in one weekend, three of them being children. When are we going to say stuff about that? When are we going to say stuff about that? When are we going to say stuff? When are we going to protest down in the middle of the street where we know there's drug dealers on the right, drug dealers on the left, and walk without fear and say black children's lives matter.
Man.
When are we going to do that? I don't hear about no police shooting nobody no more.
Man.
That is the media's flim-flam to keep you, not saying that it's not a tragedy, not saying that it's not sad, but why people ain't protest over there in Chicago this weekend? What, y'all afraid? What, people scared? You afraid? Are you afraid that you're going to get found out that you that aiding and abetting some of these people within your own Black Lives Matter community? Huh? Because y'all know who they are. If you connected to the streets in any way, you know who's doing the dirt. But some of them your own family members, you got to sell them off. You got to be a snitch. And we know what happens to snitches. So you ain't going to snitch. It's easier to call out the police. Which is sad, because when you need them, you want them to be there, don't you? You definitely don't want the police force to be dismantled in the community, because then things are really going to be bad. But anyway, 130, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, investors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. We just had a mother kill her children in front of their father. Their biological mother, not stepmother, killed in front of their biological father on his birthday. What is telling you about, and this, it ain't about racial lines, it's about what is happening to people. You're not supposed to have any greater bond between a human being and another human being than that of mother and child. And not to mention, they were girl children. A mother killed a girl children. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. It means you can't pacify people nowadays. You can't even say, I'm sorry to some people nowadays. You make an error out there on the streets, and it's going to cost you your life. No opportunity to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, my bad, yo, chill. None of that type of stuff. It's blood for blood out there. Unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, Romans 1:32, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in doing that to them. That means people nowadays are taking pleasure in hurting one another. This is 2,000 plus years ago, back in Roman times. How much more now? And all why? Because when mankind had an opportunity to build a close relationship with their creator, they shunned him. And as a result, we see it's only getting worse and worse and worse as time goes on. But the sad part about it is this ain't nothing new. It might be shocking to us because we live in life in this day and hour. But these things were happening back then. Who was murdering her child back then? Don't think for one second that homosexuality and sex change is just coming up out of the woodworks in this generation. First of all, they just had a movie out there about the Danish girl back in 1930-something. And that's a real person that existed back in early 1900s. So this sort of sickness is just going on and on and on and on. And it's feeding the beast exactly what it wants to eat, and that is humanity, mankind. That's all this beast wants to see. Think about it. When a bear sees you, they just talked about a bear roaming around in Catonsville. We ain't supposed to have no bears down here. But when that bear get hungry, it's going to eat a person. There's only but so many squirrels he's going to find and eat. And eventually, if he's hungry enough and can't find a deer, he's going to eat a human being. That's what beasts do. So that's what this system wants to do. It wants to eat your flesh and grind your bones within its teeth. But yet and still, no matter how much you have brothers
crying in the wilderness. Nobody wants to hear whatever is being. You go on YouTube, and like my brother was saying, that people got tens of thousands of views spewing out nothing but pure junk, stuff that can never be proven. First of all, Yahweh said in his word, those things which are revealed, they belong to you. But those things which are hidden belong to me. You don't know how far it is to daggone sun. You don't know how far it is to Jupiter.
Amen.
You don't know. Because that's a secret. The heavens are a secret to Yahweh.
Amen.
That's right. You will never know these things.
Uh-huh.
But guess what? The National Aeronautic and Satanic Division.
Amen.
Will keep feeding you this junk as long as you will. Neil Eric Dyson, is that the black dude's name?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see him when we standing up there in the throne with Yahweh. Say now what you got to say, bruh.
Amen.
What you got to say now, Mr. Neil Eric Dyson?
Amen.
He going to can't wait, family.
Amen.
Family, now the times, we got to stay in this word because it is under attack, even from the very people who are claiming.
Right.
Who are claiming to be servants of this word.
Right.
If I hear one more person talk about this flat earth, because there's one simple thing to destroy this whole flat earth theory. How do you explain time zones if the earth is flat?
Right.
How do you explain the rotation of this? If it's flat, how do you explain these things? How does it go around it? Does it go straight across? Does it go around like the sweeping hand of a cloud? How does it go around? You got to explain this because the way things work now, you can't explain that. You can't show that to be true on a flat earth, family.
Amen.
You can't.
Amen.
You cannot. But you got people who are using the word to try to prove this stuff to be true. And the sad part about it is the one brother who I used to follow his stuff, it really hurt me to know that he really started to believe this stuff and tried to prove it based on the word. And guess what? That boy was like sand in a strainer. Nothing was holding. And the person asked him the one thing, one question that I had. Okay, let's say all what you're saying is true. What does it have to do with salvation? What's the point of it? What you going to prove? You spend all this time worrying about that when we should be talking about the salvation of humanity.
Amen.
And he said, well, basically so that people can know. Oh, gee, thank you very much. And we'll speak against NASA. But anyway, shalom, family.
Hallelujah.
I just wanted to, you know, when you was reading that, something came to mind. In the book of Romans, when it talks about how the women gave up, it mentions that woman first giving up that natural use, and it says, and then likewise the men. What you see in this earth right now is that you have men following women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things, and it's funny, Tupac told Biggie, rap for the women. Because whatever the women do, the men are going to follow. But that's what he said.
Amen.
You know, and that's what you see in this earth. You got men walking around with women's jeans on, literally. Those skinny jeans, they're not skinny jeans. They're women's jeans. That's why. That's what they were designed for. They were designed for women. Right. You know, and you have this. Everything is backwards.
Amen.
You know, everything is backwards. You know, so we see the word. It's just following through. Like we said, continuous rebellion. And this stuff, it never stops.
Man.
It never stops. You know, so I just wanted to turkey back.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're going to stop right here for tonight. We're going to pick back up next week. So hopefully those who are listening continue to research much of what we were discussing in regard to the passages that we were using in your leisure, in your free time. And we encourage you to do so prayerfully, with sincerity and humility. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, closing prayer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah, thank you for putting it on our hearts and minds, all the things that were discussed today. Father, continue to open our minds to you. Continue to fill us with you. Continue to make us better sons and daughters for you. Father, continue to bring us closer to you, Father. Continue to lead us and guide us. And let us continue to be ready to work. Let us continue to root up and tear down, as your word says. Be ready to build and to plant, Father. Because you didn't make anything barren. Everything that you made has life within it. So let us continue to show forth your life. In Yahushua's name we ask all these things, giving you praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ma tovu. Oh, Aleha Yaakov. Oh, Aleha.